This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek, and there is only 12 shopping days left, people.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 12th, episode 1061, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Friday, looking for the hippest way to start your holiday weekend?
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here? Thank you for making me a part of this.
You eat what you like, I'll eat what I like. Yeah! Land ho!
Good morning, everybody. That's pretty good, Jennifer. I like that one. Good morning, everybody. We hope that you're doing well where you are. You know, California's been in a drought for what seems like, 120 years, Jamie. They're going to get a little rain today, and along with 70-mile-an-hour winds, thunderstorms, tornado watch has now been issued for the whole coast of California.
Really?
Apparently, yes, Pacific Storm Derek has been upgraded to the highest category of dangerous Pacific Storm. Apparently that's a Category 6. I didn't even know they rated or named Pacific Storms, but apparently they do. And this is connected with the Pineapple Express, which is apparently an atmospheric river of tropical moisture that's now coming in off the ocean over California, and they're going to have a wild day. Now, are you supposed to get some of that?
Well, first of all, let me say that I am incredibly impressed in your meteorology there, Glenn. Well done. Second of all, you know what? I tried to order a load of hay, and the farmer that brings us the hay was like, I can't bring it on Friday. It's going to rain. And I was like, this is like last week. And he's like, yeah, it's going to rain on Friday. And then I was like, well, what about Saturday? He's like, still going to be wet. So the news says
no
that it's supposed
for
to rain.
You.
I know. I got to go down the street and buy for a lot of money, like a couple bales to get me through to buy when my big load comes. But he's like, you know, the news and the weather reports say all the rain is coming tomorrow. But I am inclined to believe the farmer because I feel like they've got a better grasp on weather than even a trained meteorologist does. Am I right? I mean,
you're
these
probably
guys.
Right, yes.
Hey, guys, yes. That's what they do. That's what they do. So it'll be interesting to see who's right. Will it come later today? Will it come tomorrow? Who knows? But
now,
I think
in a place like where you live, where, you know, you and in Phoenix, Arizona, and out there in California, where you get no rain ever, right? I mean, the weather's just pretty much the same every day. So when it actually is supposed to rain, is this something that people talk about for a week ahead of time?
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea. Right now, I guarantee you, in certain parts of Phoenix, people are filling sandbags. Because what happens is everything floods.
Yeah,
because it doesn't soak in. It just sits on top, and all the water has to go somewhere. There's, like, all around the city, there's different ways that they've tried to filter flood water just in case we get a big rainstorm. It's insane. But people go crazy. It's like going to the store, the equivalent of it snowing in the South, and everybody runs to the store and buys milk and eggs. Well, hell, you can go to Home Depot right now and buy a truckload of sand, start filling up the sandbags because you're going to have to put them in front of your door to keep it from flooding. Yeah, it's crazy. People go nuts.
That's what I figured that it was like out there. Same thing we do, you know, that you probably did in Atlanta when you lived there when you were supposed to have 1 inch of snow. Everybody went crazy in Atlanta for 1 inch of snow, too.
Absolutely. Snow in the South, yep. Same as rain in the West.
Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we'll dive right in with our good buddy, formerly from thehorse.com, and now the face of Skydive Spaceland, Christy West is here with the perfect holiday gift for the adrenaline junkie on your list. And next up, Elisa Wallace, an eventer that we're all familiar with, has an update on her high-flying Mustang, Quinn. And free-falling at terminal velocity, really bad ads, hits the ground with a splat. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, I have two daily winnings. And because Valentine's Day was 9 months ago, we continue with our happy birthday. Very special happy birthday today out to Karen, who is the owner and founder of Kentucky Performance Products, been our sponsor since day one here on the show. And we discovered talking before the show this morning that Jamie and Jennifer and I missed another Hit'em anniversary. We never remember our anniversaries. We're worse than an old married couple, Jamie, because we just never remember. And we've only been doing this for 4 years, and we still don't remember our anniversary. But anyway, it was back on November 1st, and Kentucky Performance Products has been with us since the very beginning, and we want to wish Karen and everybody over at Kentucky Performance Products a wonderful day, and Karen, a very happy birthday. Yes, and this, so we are in our fifth year.
Because
we started in November 1st, 2010. So that would be our, yeah, we're in our fifth year, right?
I love the fact that we forgot our anniversary and you remember a month and a half later and decide to bring it up. Like, just let it go. Wait
well,
till
no,
next
I have,
year.
I have had to do that with our wedding anniversary a couple times too. So.
Oh my gosh.
You're better off bringing it up at some point than never bringing it up. And then she realizes 2 months later that you totally forgot. If you remember first, because we've both forgotten in the past, and as long as I'm the one that remember first, I'm safe. See?
That's a great point. That's a great point. Well, the good news is, like, for my wedding anniversary, there's a child's birthday right before it. So I better not forget that. Better not forget that.
We actually have a plate that somebody made us. They used to do this years ago. They used to give you a plate, and it had an inscription on it of the place where you got married. And then it had an inscription on it of your name and the date. And we have the plate hanging up. The only reason this plate is still hanging up in our house is so we can remember the date we got married. That's the reason why.
What is your anniversary then?
It is July 16th, 1988.
That's a very obscure date. Like, you can't remember that.
Okay,
I get it.
It's not like August 1st or, you know, December 25th. It's not that easy. No.
It's not like Halloween. Yeah, I can't believe you guys didn't get married on Halloween.
Well,
it's your turn.
Yes, two today. Sydney Collier gets my second daily Winnie. She is a para rider and was just on the Dressage Show this week. This week's episode of the Dressage Radio Show has Sydney on there. They recorded her interview before she found out that she won the 2014 Junior Equestrian of the Year Award by the USEF. Congratulations to her. And you'll remember that name, Jamie, when we were covering the World Equestrian Games this year. We talked about her because she has her standard poodle therapy dog named Journey, who was the only dog to ever be accredited with World Equestrian Games accreditation and tags. Remember we had talked about her? Yeah, so
yeah.
Congratulations to her and her dog Journey for winning the 2014 Junior Equestrian of the Year Award.
My daily Winnie goes out to whoever is going to go with me, and I'd like to put the invitation out now. Unfortunately, my husband is unable to attend the era. Do you guys like food festivals, right?
Yes, we love food festivals.
Oh, yeah, any excuse
okay,
to
well,
eat. Sure.
Yeah,
exactly. And so you can fly in, and on January 10th, we are going to go to Scottsdale, Arizona, and dine at the Arizona Vegetarian Food Festival. That's right, the entire festival is vegan. All vegan food. I am so excited. Do you know what going to a food festival?
1,001 ways to make tofu here in Arizona. I just threw up a little in my mouth.
No, it's going to be so good. It's going to be delicious, and I don't have anybody to go with me, so I'm trying to convince somebody.
Wait,
because
your
there
husband will go with you to the vegan 1,001 Ways to Make Tofu Food Festival?
He is busy that day. He's told me he has something ahead of schedule.
Yeah,
and
too.
No, he's honestly legitimately busy, I promise. So he's got a work thing. So
you're not going to bring your child to this, are you, and torture your child with that?
Oh, it's Lukey and I are going to grub out, okay? He doesn't like meat anyway, so this is going to be perfect for a little child. So anybody who wants to go to the Arizona Vegetarian Food Festival, I am so excited. January 10th, tickets are only $20. Do you know what going to a food festival for a vegetarian is like? You don't eat anything.
Yeah, 85 ways to eat broccoli?
So this is going to be that. I'm so excited. They have speakers. They have swag you can buy. They're shopping. It's all about vegan. I'm so excited. Yay. They even have a vegan ice cream truck. Yeah.
Now, this is vegan or vegetarian? Because there's a difference, right?
Yeah, there is a difference because vegetarians eat, you know, there's
milk.
Cheese,
yeah.
Milk, you know. No, this is a vegan food fest.
This really is tofu.
Vegan. It's not tofu, Glenn. That's the exciting part is nobody's just going to serve tofu. They're going to make it awesome, and it's going to be all sorts of new stuff to try, and I can eat everything. You don't know what it's like going to any sort of food, anything you don't get to eat, and so I'm going to eat everything. I am going to eat everything in the entire festival. I'm going to make it my mission. I'll be there all day.
The only food festival in America where you're guaranteed not to gain an ounce.
I wish that was the truth.
Oh, my God. I actually have a vegan food festival. Okay.
Oh
well,
gosh.
Only you can only get away with that near a city. That would never happen where your husband's from in Oklahoma. That would never happen.
No. No. Just in case
people.
You want to know, there's going to be vendors from the Kona Ice Truck, the Giving Tree Wellness Center. There's a clothing store called the Herbivore Clothing Company. Yes, that's right. The Herbivore Clothing Company. You can buy clothes. There is vegan chocolate. Vegan chocolate. It's called Rescue Chocolate, and all the proceeds go to Dog Rescue. Come on. This is awesome. So excited.
Dogs are the only ones that'll eat it.
There's fake bacon chocolate. They sell fake bacon chocolate. You like bacon chocolate. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Hey,
anybody sign up for that, just email Jamie at jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I'm sure she'd have loved to have somebody go along with her.
Wait, the messages are pouring in right now.
I'm sure.
Pouring in.
Let me put out a call to go to a bacon festival here in Florida. I guarantee I get more.
That's ridiculous. Hey, I got a news story for you that I thought was pretty cool, and Horse Nation covered it because it was on TMZ. And reading TMZ talking about horses is, like, hilarious because they're absolute idiots. But Zoe Deschanel, who is the girl in – she's in Elf, okay? So this time of year, everybody knows Zoe from Elf. She's the girl who sings, you know, she like, dates Will Ferrell. Anyway, so apparently she was leasing a horse, and she returned the horse. She was leasing for $13,000 a year to compete. Apparently she returned the horse, and they're saying that she broke it. She broke it. And so they're suing her. I don't know how much they're going to sue her for, but they're saying that this horse, Literati, that competed in only one recognized competition in the 2 foot and 2-3 division with Zoe, is broken.
How do you break a horse jumping 2 foot?
I know, exactly. The owner, Patty Parker, the lawsuit claims that Literati was returned to her in need of veterinary help, which she intends to make Zoe put the bill for. And then when Zoe returned to the horse, and this is a quote, it was a shell of its former self, injured and unusable. Well, Horse Nation takes their license, which is what's funny, and they're like, okay, so between, let's see, Zoe actually riding the horse, competing in one horse show, They said, oh, yeah, I'm sure she was at the barn every waking minute. But between starring in her own TV show, acting in two movies, putting out record albums, representing this cosmetic company, doing photo shoots, and dating a producer, along with other assorted celebrity activities, I'm sure she had plenty of time to spend pounding laps around the ring on her poor, crippled horse. So, nice. Well said. You know, it's just somebody, it seems like somebody trying to make money off somebody who's got money.
And I love this last line. We reached out to Zoe for comment. Did we get a call back? Nay. They can't resist.
That's the TMZ one. Gosh,
they can't
resist,
can they?
They called him a stallion and he's a gelding and just, it was just, they just, far be it for me to say that there's some crazy women in the horse world that are going to try to take advantage of somebody else. That would be insane. That would never happen. But that's kind of what Horse Nation thinks is going on. And me too, kind of, really.
You know, so this makes me wonder, Zooey Deschanel's made a few bucks in the acting world, right? Do you think that she would own her own horse? Why is she leasing a horse?
Probably because she doesn't have time to own a horse. You know, I mean,
they can afford
honestly,
to own a horse even if they don't have time. They have people for that. The time.
Well,
part.
Maybe she's smart with her money and doesn't spend $1,000 a month on board and when she can't ride it. I don't know. If I was that busy, that sounds like a very legitimate idea to lease a horse and to hand it back. But apparently,
you know,
she broke
but
it,
when
so.
You're when you got a name and you're an actress like that, there's a target on you, isn't there? No matter what you do, somebody's going to be doing you for something. So.
And that sucks. I hate people that, you know, just try to tarnish. You know, she brought. As much as we've talked about her before being at this horse show and doing stuff, she promotes horses by being on them and going to horse shows, and it's exciting. And then somebody like this is going to I'd be curious to know what the massive, and I finger quotes, massive veterinary bills are for. But I guess we'll try to find out.
I also, while we're speaking of actors, I hate to burst your bubble because, but I, you know, the other day it was really headline news everywhere that Leonardo, who apparently is single right now, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, the one you blew it when you could have gone up and talked to him.
I call him Leo.
Remember? Yeah, remember that? You blew it. Well, apparently he left a Miami nightclub the other night with 20 models. Back to his hotel room. One's not
enough. And, you know, my first thought was Glenn is posting this because simply he's jealous. Because who gets to leave?
Well, there's that.
Now, that's number one. Number two is I realized that all he's doing is trying to fill the void of me. I have moved on.
Oh, that's
I have found a wonderful husband and started a family, and he's just,
that's what it
he
is.
Can't. He can't fill the void, and so it's going to take 20 women to fill the void of one, which was me.
20 women? How do you fit them all in the car? That's a big car. That's a big car.
It's a clown car.
Then you scoot in. Well, we are here to provide you with the ultimate in Christmas shopping ideas this holiday season. And, you know, not everybody on your Christmas list wants something from Equestrian Collections. There are some people on your Christmas list that like to do things other than horses occasionally. Maybe your spouse, maybe your boyfriend, or maybe you've got that horse person in your life that is just a super adrenaline junkie that you want to make them branch out a little bit from the horse thing. And we have the perfect idea for you, but I'm not sure quite how to go about it, make sure I don't get ripped off. So we asked Christy West, and people who have longtime listeners of this show are going to recognize that name. She used to do the Horse Health Report with us years ago when we first started the show for thehorse.com, and then she left thehorse.com to go on and pursue her passion and actually got a job doing it, and that is skydiving. We have Christy West back with us. Hi, Christy.
I missed you guys.
Christy!
We missed you, too. You know, I look at all your pictures, though. You could not look happier. You really are happy, aren't you?
It is really hard to not have a good time when you're going overseas to compete in something you love for your country.
You know, I see all the pictures of you doing your skydives, and you do the really cool kind, you know, where they're making designs in the sky and all of that. And you know, it's what made me think of this is like, you know, I know a lot of people do give holiday gifts for of skydiving for Christmas. But before we talk about that, you did just go overseas to a very unique place. Was this like a world championships?
It was. There are different levels of championships, and there's one that's a little bit bigger that's every other year. This is what's considered an off year, so it was not quite as many people at this competition, but it was an absolute ton of fun. So we went to Dubai.
Yeah, okay.
I had never been there before, and the place is nuts. It's like Vegas on steroids. they want to impress. They want to impress so much. It's you can't not be impressed.
Oh, is that right? Now, so you actually went there, and there were teams from around the world?
Yes.
How's a competition like that work? Explain it to us.
So this had all the disciplines. So you had some of the various parachute landing disciplines, which, you know, one is like accuracy landing. You have canopy piloting, which is more about speed and distance over water and accuracy in a little bit different way. You had canopy formation, where people that are under parachutes, you know, like grab hold of each other's parachutes in the sky repeatedly. They do formations, just same as what I do, only they're under parachutes.
Wait a minute. You actually grab each other's parachutes? Okay, that doesn't sound dangerous at all.
That's not a discipline I do, but it is impressive to watch, for sure.
Wow.
And then you have the free fall disciplines as well, which are, you know, all the different formation skydiving, which you're a little bit familiar with from seeing some of my stuff. So they're holding all of that within about a week's time. So they kind of rotate you a little bit through, you know, you'll do a few rounds, then you'll have a day off. And you'll do another couple of rounds, and you'll have a day off because they'll be running some of the other events during that time. And so it's pretty cool because you get to go to Dubai, and a lot of the meets run the same way. So maybe Dubai, maybe another country, maybe whatnot. But then you get to play tourists. So it's a great way to go see a different part of the world and just have a darn good time doing it.
What was your favorite thing in Dubai? What was the things that really stood out to you?
You know, I think I really enjoyed it. We did a desert safari one day, and that was awesome because I got out of the city. The city is impressive, but I'm not so much of a city person. I'm an outdoor person, as probably are most of us listening to the show. And so we went out. We took the jeeps through the dunes, and you know, I would have been hopelessly lost because everything kind of looks the same out there. But it was cool to get out in the desert, away from the city. You know, we had a nice dinner out at this little desert camp thing. Got to ride camels. It was just awesome. So
Dubai dry? There's alcohol in the hotels, right? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, it's a lot of it is dry. That is definitely not their culture to have a drink with dinner as it is ours. But there are bars. There just aren't very very many of them. There are bars and liquor stores. There's not a lot of them. They're pricey. You know, there are duty-free stores and the shops in the airport that are kind of handy for that as well. But it is not totally dry. They do cater
now,
to tourists, and you know, tourists, a lot of them like a drink.
Well, how'd you do? How'd the United States team do?
We got silver.
Oh, yeah? Good. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a ton of fun because it was a team that kind of got put together at not quite the last minute, but about a month ahead. Because there was another women's team. This is a women's four person team, and the women's four person team, the one women's four person team that was competing in Open, which was the Golden Knights, the U.S. Army parachute team, they decided not to go. They had something else going on or whatnot. So they started picking up other women who competed to kind of put together a team and go, so the U.S. would be represented. And so it was a great chance. It was kind of an odd situation, but it was a great chance to go do that and have an amazing time. There aren't too many better trips out there.
So I got to ask, Christy, because the thought of what you do absolutely terrifies me to pieces. I would never in my life open the door of an airplane and think jumping out would be a good idea. Just let me throw that out there. So I got to ask, how many jumps do you do like a year?
You know, it varies. I was looking at my numbers the other day, so it's funny you asked that. I haven't done as many this year for a few different reasons. I've done about 170, but I've had years where I did as many as 450.
Whoa!
Good God.
Okay. That's a lot of jumps.
So, couple questions. Is this sport more or less expensive than horses?
You know, the thing about this sport that's different is that it can be very, very expensive. Depending if you're doing 450 jumps a year, it is not cheap. The difference is that the rig doesn't eat when you're not skydiving.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Understood.
It doesn't poop either, parachute, does it? No.
You can leave it in the closet. It doesn't cost you anything when you're not jumping. So if you take a couple months off in the wintertime, it's free. But it can be very expensive when you're jumping. So it just depends on how much you want to do it.
Now, you say you've taken a couple of the winter off, and you're going to do your first jump in the spring. It's time to get back to it. And you are sitting in that airplane, and the door opens, and you walk to the door. Do you ever get nervous, ever anymore? Any hesitation, any nerves, anything?
You know, when you haven't done something in a while, it's easy to get a little bit nervous. I mean, if you haven't been on a horse in a few months, you can get a little bit nervous too, right? It just depends on what you're doing. I will admit to being a little bit nervous going out to Dubai, even though it had only been a few weeks since I jumped, because I was jumping out over the ocean. So
it's different than the mental aspect of the game is different when you're jumping over water.
Well, it's not so much where you're jumping as where you're landing, right?
Right.
I don't want to land in the water.
Sure.
Who wants to land in the water?
Is that where do you have to land, or is there like the Navy ships have to land on the boat? Do you do that? Or the Navy airplanes, do you have to pick like an area to land on a boat?
So the Skydive Dubai has multiple landing areas out by the beach for this competition so that they can kind of separate who's doing what. So you have the canopy, the landing events, the accuracy landing and the canopy piloting event. You know, one's really slow canopies, one's really fast canopies. But those were done in kind of their spectator area right there on the drop zone. We were actually landing out on the outer edge of the palm. You've seen the palm in pictures, right? The man-made palm island.
Yep.
Okay, so we were actually landing way out on the edge of that so that we could run both of those events at the same time, but we had different air spaces that we were jumping and landing in. So we were landing out on the edge of the palm and getting coming back to the drop zone for every jump in some of their Sky Dubai's boats. So they don't just have planes, they have boats too, a lot of them. And you get a jump, you get a boat ride, it's fun, you're landing out on this little strip of land, and of course it's an offshore breeze, right? We want to always go and jump upwind of our target, so the wind helps us get home, so you're jumping out over the ocean, like offshore of the palm. So it's definitely a different visual if you're not used to that.
All right, we're going to get to the gift certificates here in a second, but I have to ask you a question. Jamie's husband, when they go to amusement parks, who's, he's the fighter pilot and still does that, he can't do roller coasters because they're too boring. They just no adrenaline rush at all, even the most wicked roller coasters. How about you?
The roller coasters are okay. To me, the rides are kind of fun, but I like something where I have some control and some skill that I can play with. I can do something and affect the outcome, whereas you're strapped into a roller coaster, it's okay.
You can say it's boring. It's okay.
It's boring.
My husband and I on our honeymoon ziplined in the rainforest, and I'm like arms out flying across the rainforest, and he's like, we get to the end, and I'm like, oh, isn't that awesome? And he's like, yeah, that was great. Thanks. Super fun.
This is probably why I've never had a real need to go bungee jumping. It's like, yeah, you fall, you bounce, you woohoo, but it's like something where I can work on my skills. So controlling the outcome.
I want to get some, let's say I know somebody's a bit of an adrenaline junkie and I want to get them something really different this year. How do I go about and where do I go to get a skydiving like gift certificate for a skydive for Christmas, and how do I not get ripped off?
I cannot get ripped off. So go to your look. Take a quick look around online. Look at what drop zones are near you, because it doesn't. You know, if you're living in, you know, in New York, you don't want to get a gift certificate for somebody to jump in Texas or Florida, right? Unless they're going to be visiting there, which is a whole different story. But go to your local drop zones website. You can go to the United States Parachute Association website to look up a list of drop zones if you like. There are a number of retailers online who will resell skydives from those local skydiving centers and charge you more for it. So kind of try to avoid those a little bit. You can look for the ones that have physical locations. You know, they say, this is our address, this is about us, here are our people, you know. USPA, the United States Parachute Association, has a directory of drop zones. It's not all drop zones. It's drop zones that have chosen to be a member of USPA. That's a really good place to start. And you know, take a look at those skydiving centers. Try to avoid the resellers that are charging you a ton of extra money. Because, I mean, and we'll, you know, Skydive Spaceland, and we have locations in Houston and in South Florida and Clewiston. Yeah, we'll take those resellers' jumps, but we know people are paying more for them. It stinks to be them, but you know we'll still give them a skydive, but you know they will have paid more through that reseller. So go to USPA's website, look up a drop zone that's near where you know your gift recipient is living, and you know just and learn a little bit about the drop zones. There often is some competition, a little bit of competition in an area, but there aren't usually a whole lot of drop zones in any given area. So you probably want to pick one that's close, pick one that you like the look of the website. There are definitely different levels of operations as far as which ones are bigger with bigger airplanes and maybe open full-time versus only on weekends. So look at all that kind of stuff for sure.
Now, what will it run on average? What would you say? Like at your place, what would it run? And you're jumping tandem for your first jump, right?
For the most part, yes. There are different ways to do your first jump. Tandem is definitely the most popular and the one I would absolutely recommend for a gift, because if you're jumping any other way, that means you're jumping with your own rig on your back instead of tandem with an experienced instructor. And I think it's just an easier entry into the sport to do a tandem, because you don't have this big, long training class. Because if you're jumping with your own rig on your back, you have to spend hours, you know, 4 to 6 hours in class learning all about how that parachute system works, what to do in case any part of it malfunctions. You have to know all that stuff before going on your first jump if you're the one responsible for the equipment. With a tandem, you go through about, you know, a half hour, maximum an hour training class where you just kind of see some videos of how it works. You get sort of an idea of the basics, but you have an instructor there with you. So you don't have to know quite as much stuff. You can enjoy the ride a little bit more without worrying about, you know, what do I do if A, B, C, D, or E happens. You know, it's probably not going to happen, but you have to know what to do in case it does. And with an experienced instructor who already knows all that stuff, you don't have to have as much training. It's you get to experience free fall and the canopy ride. You get to chat with somebody on the way down, and you know they're in charge of landing the parachute, and you know you will help, but they will take care of a lot of that for you. So tandem is definitely a great way to do it. It varies. The prices will vary a little bit across the country depending on the operation. And, you know, if it's a bigger operation with bigger aircraft, you know, it may be a little bit higher. It just depends. But they're usually going to be in the neighborhood of $200. You know, they may be a little bit more. They may be a little bit less. At our place, it's $219. And, you know, that's what it is on a weekend. You know, if you're going out and booking your own skydive with friends or whatever, you can do group discounts, this and that and the other. But if you're getting somebody a gift certificate, a lot of times it's going to be a full price deal because they don't know if you're coming out on weekdays, weekends. You know, the prices are usually a little bit higher on weekends than they are on weekdays. They want to get some business out on the weekdays, right? Most everybody wants to jump on the weekend, but they're not working. But
all right, cool. Well, you know, the other
one. That's how it works.
More
you can get video and photos of your jump so that you can prove to everybody that you did it.
Right? Actually did it.
You know, it's safe.
That's the most
it's
important part.
It's not on
part.
Video. It never happened.
Right. That's the most important part. Now, one other question for you. I've always wanted to, they have one in Orlando, is the wind tunnel. Is the wind tunnel something good to do before you do your first jump?
It just depends on what you want to do. The wind tunnel is definitely, the free fall sensation is similar. It's a little bit less encumbered because you don't have the 20-30 pound parachute rig on your back. But yeah, the scenery is definitely not as good.
Right,
you're looking
true.
At walls.
That is true.
So it does. It is a really cool experience though, because the feeling of free fall is definitely not something that most people have done. And
right.
the other good thing about the wind tunnel is, for sure. And the other good thing about the wind tunnel is it's something that kids can do. You know, in the U.S. and a lot of other countries, you can't jump until you're of legal age to sign your life away, right, which means you can't jump until you're 18. Some countries, that's different, but in the U.S., that's the way it is. And in the wind tunnel, they'll take people three years old up.
There you go. So, very good. Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us, and it's good to hear your voice again after all this time.
It is really good to chat with you guys. It's always something that I enjoy to get on the show and chat with you guys every week.
Well, and you know, I think that most horse people have experienced free fall, just not quite as far.
Not for any length of time where it has the opportunity to enjoy.
Usually
the
ends up in a broken bone too, but
we try not to do this part.
Yeah. Thank you, Christy.
Free fall is much more fun when you do it on purpose.
Yes, that's correct. Not being launched. Now, tell us where you work and what's the website for there.
I work at Scott Edge Spaceland. Like I mentioned, we have locations in Houston, Texas, and in South Florida, in Clewiston near Miami. And the website is www.scottedgespaceland.com.
SkydiveSpaceland.com. So if you're in Texas and you want to get that skydive for that adventurous person in your life, then SkydiveSpaceland.com is the one to go to. Now, if we ever get down to Texas, which we're hoping to do here at some point, can I get you as my doubles instructor?
You cannot. I do not have a tandem instructor's rating. I have not gone through the class for that.
All right, but you can jump out with us. So I can wave.
I could jump out near you, come hold your hand, and free fall and wave at you, but I would not be the person you would be strapped to.
All right, that's sold. We'll do it that way. We'll do it that way. All right. I love
Perfect.
That idea.
I would love
Thank
to jump
you,
with you guys. When are you coming?
Never.
I'm not sure. We're hoping to get over. Jamie's never coming, but we're hoping to get over there sometime next year. So I'll let you know. I'll definitely let you know. That'd be fun.
If you guys both come
Don't
out, you can jump
us.
And she can ride. She can ride right seat in the plane and talk to the pilot on the way down.
Don't call us. We'll call you, okay?
Uh-huh.
We'll be there.
This is usually where it splits up.
Merry Christmas, Christy.
Merry Christmas. You take care.
Bye-bye. She said you could ride the plane. And you could just
That's
stay
okay.
in the plane.
I don't like doing that either.
Ride beside the pilot there with all the controls. You could appreciate what your husband does for a living.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
She'll
cool.
keep an eye on the rental car in the parking lot.
Yeah. You and me both, sister. We'll watch it. We'll see your video, Glenn, when you're done.
You guys will be at the bar watching. Well, before we get to our next guest, we have to hear from the Birthday Girls Company. That's Kentucky Performance Products.
Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we talk a lot about Kentucky Performance Products, and that's because they are a name you can trust to give you the most value for your supplement money. Kentucky Performance Products offers supplements designed to target specific problems that are made with high-quality ingredients included at effective levels. The company's supplements are intended to complement, not compete, with your dressage horse's current feeding program, guarding against oversupplementation, and each product is backed by sound research and the money-back satisfaction guarantee. And today we'd like to talk to you about Nalox, the original equine antacid. It's recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen as a way of maintaining a healthy stomach, which reduces the risk of ulcers. Nalox can be given daily to horses exposed to stressful conditions or as needed when shipping, competing, or during stall confinement. You know, you can learn about Nalox and all the products at Kentucky Performance Products at KPPUSA.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at KPPUSA.com.
And I am super excited. First of all, thanks to Kentucky Performance Products. We wouldn't be here without you. I'm super excited to introduce our next guest, who needs no introduction because she's been on our show a ton of times. And her name is Elisa Wallace. Hey, Elisa.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm so excited to talk to you because I have been following you on Facebook so closely because you are doing something that is so incredibly exciting. Tell everybody what you're involved in now.
Mustangs.
Obviously. Now, for those who don't know, Elisa is the Magic Mustang trainer who was at Rolex this year with her Mustang. She's won the challenge before, but now you're in a new challenge, and it's Mustang Mares.
Right. This one's called the Mustang Magic Makeover, and they have all mares, and each trainer has been invited. So it means that you've competed in previous makeovers and done well. And so it's a smaller group. There's only about 20 trainers that were selected. Well, that ended up being in the competition. And so, yeah, we're about at the 90-day mark, I guess. Because we, getting close. butterflies are happening when I start thinking about that. So, I hadn't done one since the million last year, and I was kind of itching to do one, and I am now doing one.
So tell us kind of how you came about getting this mare. Tell us about, is it Hwin or Win?
It can be said both ways. If you listen to the book, which she's named after a character in the Chronicles of Narnia books, Horse and His Boy, and there's a talking mare in that book called, but the way they say it is Hwin, so it's named after horses that, like, Winnie, that kind of sound. It's very interesting. But I call her Win or Hwin. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so tell us about Win.
When my friend picked her up for me, because I was, it was really chaotic, because she came the time that I got to see her for like 2 hours, and then I had to leave and go to the American Eventing Championships in Texas. So mm-hmm. I was kind of, it's like getting a Christmas present and not really being able to open it and play with your toy when you get them. So I got her, and she was not really afraid of humans. She was always very, very sweet. Within the first, 30 minutes, I was able to sit on her. But everybody's like, oh, my God, she just must be so easy. And no. I've had to do a fair amount of work to progress. And she's not my first Mustang, so I kind of, you know the ins and outs. You know what to do. You still make mistakes and screw up, per usual. But she was very good, with me, human stuff, but she's also a very kind of insecure horse about certain things, which she's very similar to the character in the book, which is crazy. And I never knew the color of the horse when I named her. I just liked the name and thought it was cool because I had Fledge, who's named after another Chronicle of Narnia book. And when I looked her up again, the horse is actually gray, and so is Win. And I was like, okay, that's just really weird. But back to her. So it almost, the more Mustangs you do and the more competitions you do, sometimes the harder it is, because you still have to keep the perspective that every horse is different and they're not always going to progress the same ways. And you can get spoiled sometimes because you'll catch yourself comparing. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you should be able to do this because Fledge did this by then, or Rune did this mm-hmm. by this time, or I feel like I'm behind. You always feel like you're behind. And so you oftentimes have this inner struggle of frustration, feeling like you're behind, but then once you work through all that stuff and you gain your perspective, which Mustangs are great for you to humble yourself and say, stop and wait, let's look where we are compared to where we were, and you're like, holy crap, yeah, I guess that's pretty impressive.
What kind of stuff are you doing with her right now? So you've had her how many, 90 days, you said?
Yeah, we're almost, the 22nd will be 90 days.
Okay, so I just want to put in perspective when she says she's behind and she's doing this and that, and blah, blah, blah. It just is all ridiculous, because tell everybody what you're doing with this wild horse that you've had for 90 days.
Well, now?
Well, yeah, now.
Now she'll, She can do canter half passes. She can do flying changes. She can do haunches in, shoulders in. She's got her passage steps going.
Good Lord. Boy, you really
down.
Are behind.
Yeah.
Shoot.
She'll lay down, and then she jumps around like 3'6", 3'9", 4 foot.
Oh, you are just so far behind.
Well,
you know how long it takes most people to get any horse to that level? 3 years.
It's one thing for them. Okay, yeah, I've got her doing tricks and stuff like that. But you don't know how you're going to have a horse that will handle the atmosphere. It's a lot of atmosphere when you go to Texas or when you go to these competitions. And I've had her out and going places since, like, day six. But she can sometimes get distracted and tune me out and not really – versus, like, Fledge, man, the more people, the more stuff you had, the more he would just tune into me and just focus. And so that's how they're a little bit different. She's brave, but then she's a chicken. She's kind of like your typical oxymoron of an event horse, because some of the bravest event horses I've ever had are some of the biggest chickens. Like, they'd be afraid of a rock.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll jump off a cliff for you. So, yeah, she's really good, but she's also a mare, and she can be opinionated about things. And, like, for instance, a night or two ago, I was working her Liberty in my arena, and my arena fence is not very tall. It's like 3'6", 3'9". And she was feeling good and running around playing bucking, and I could tell. I was like, she's eyeing the fence. She's going to try to jump out. Sure enough, she jumped out, and I was like, when? Come back. So I walked over. It's, like, dark, because I was working here. I had the lights on, and I'm like, great. This is great. Yep, she's probably going to run down the road, something. So I walk by the barn, and I'm calling her, and I look over, and she's standing by the barn door, like, no, I just want to go. I want to go to my stall. I'm like, oh, man.
I'm done. I'm done. So how many hours do you spend a day with her? I mean, you have a million horses in training and horses that you're eventing, and you're in the tack all day long. So how much time can you spend with her?
I tend to kind of rotate some. Well, I mean, I have the main horses, but I have other babies and stuff that are in that get worked. And so you can kind of finagle your schedule a little bit. But in the beginning, it's really intense. Like, I get obsessed with wanting to get the wild out and wanting to have them trust. And so the initial time you get them, you're spending a lot of time, like, waking up early. It's the first horse you work. You're probably spending, like, 3 hours with them. And then the afternoon, it's ridiculous how many hours you put into them. And then near the end, there does come a period where you can, you know, they all get burnt out. And so there's that fine line of, you teach them, and then you back off a little bit, let them settle. And so now near the end, I try to keep it just like my normal, you know, workouts, like 45 minutes, an hour. And there may be other days that we go and we play and do stuff. But, so it's just I try to scale back the closer that we get to the competition so they're still, like, fresh and not overworked and Now she's more like a typical horse in training, so I'm not having those, like, 4-5 hour days with one going, okay, now I got to work.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else. So
when you have time, yeah. So you're heading to this now. Now you did the Mustang Millions makeover, and well, I don't know which one. Which is the one you won with the Live Like You Were Dying song of musical freestyle awesomeness? Which one was that?
Oh, that was a makeover in Clemson that I won with Fledge. So
Fledge,
that one was
okay.
On a little bit smaller scale.
Okay, so you had this beautiful, almost like a musical freestyle Mustang style, where you came out, and it was emotional, it was beautiful, I was like crying at the end, it was awesome. Do you have something kind of like that? I don't want you to give away all your tricks in case your competitors are listening, but, like, do you have some sort of plan of your show?
Oh, sure, that starts from, like, before you even pick up the horse.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you're thinking of your song or your freestyle and stuff like that. But I definitely have a song, and I'm working out the kinks for the freestyle. Your variable that you don't know about is how your horse, again, is going to react or respond. And so you kind of have to have plan A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. So if this goes wrong or something, you have a backup plan. And now that I've done it a little bit more, I know what to expect. And I'm always kind of in a hard point where, because I am an English writer, and she does prefer English, but it's a Western competition, and I've spent a lot of time working Western with her, and she's so athletic. I mean, she's good at everything that she does, but that's always the dilemma. Should I show her English, or should I try and go Western? So it just all depends on, I'm just going to do what she feels most comfortable with. She definitely enjoys jumping, and she's been like that from day one. I mean, I was able to get her to lead, I have these little ditches outside my house, and I would just send her over the ditches, and she thought that was the best thing and really enjoyed that. And I was like, okay, so you like to jump. Because let me just be clear, going into this, I was not planning on trying to keep a mare, a gray mare at that. Didn't want that at all. Nope, I'm doing this so I can, help Mustangs bridge the gap for people who, you know, can't take a wild horse. And the problem has been that I told myself the only way I would possibly keep one was if it was a freak. And if it would, like, I was like, if she jumped 4 foot, okay, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid horse.
She jumps 4 foot. So
yeah.
Now you got to keep her. How many, watching you with her, she is going to be your eventing Mustang, without a doubt.
Yeah, it hurts me. It kind of pains to say that, because that means that I have to tell some people that they were right. Because I told them
that
they were wrong.
And that's something no horse girl ever wants to do.
No, we don't like doing that. But, you know, I will do it, because you just have to own up to it. Fine, you're right, whatever.
Do you want to do it right here on the show right now and address those people in a public forum?
No, I've already told them. They already know, and I hear it daily. So, and here's
would
the, I mean, I don't have her yet. I'm still working, and the kicker is that, you know, I have a barn owner, and the only way I can have her kept with me is if I do get a sponsor, an owner who would be willing to pay for her on the, you know, to have her, just like all my other competition horses that I have owners for, and, you know, same thing. So that's what I'm hoping to find. And she does seem to be really talented in the fact that she has a fair amount of scope. And, you know, I don't know how far she would go, but it's certainly a, and again, I always sit there and think, really? Like, why did you have to be gray? And everybody's like, oh, but gray's so pretty. Listen, people, it only lasts for so long, and then you got to keep them clean.
Yeah, I know. It does. It's true. Chestnuts are way easier. So
yeah, chestnuts,
solid
chestnuts are fine.
Yeah, especially when you live in Georgia and it's red clay, is obviously the choice for colors. So I get it. But you've got a GoFundMe account set up. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so, after I posted a couple of things, people were just like, oh my gosh, you have to keep her, because I was still on the fence about it. And after I actually talked to my dad, and my dad was like, you know, I was like, well, Dad, what do you think? He's like, well, she jumps. I was like, yeah. He's like, well, isn't that what you've been looking for? I'm like, yes, fine. He's like, well, I mean, I think you should go for it. So everybody, I have such great supporters and fans, and everybody has been really great, and almost to the point to where sometimes I'm like, this is just crazy. So I set up the GoFundMe, and that's to help with, you know, her going to auction. I don't know what she'll go for because people ask. I mean, sometimes horses go from 200 to 7,500. Some have gone for over 15,000 before. I don't know. And then if I was to acquire her, that money will go to paying board and stuff until I can get an owner or a sponsor to cover her costs, because my barn owner is amazing, but I need to, as a business, this is a business, and I need to fulfill my promises that I said I was going to do. So
the problem is, like, it's funny because it's a catch-22. You want to show her off to the best of her ability, and you want to impress everybody and wow everybody so you can win this competition, but then she's going to sell for a ton of money in the auction, and you want to buy her for cheap. That is so hard.
Oh my gosh. And it's hard, and I've told myself, I'm probably going to cry, per usual, because I just remember how it was with Sledge, and it's... You get on such a high from the competition, and then your emotions are just a roller coaster ride, because then you have to go into the auction, and you just, and that's part of the crazy fun of it, I guess.
No, no, that's not fun.
But, you know, if she does sell for a lot of money and I can't get her, you know, then I did a good job. And
yeah. And
my biggest thing about her is she's still, right now, as a 120-day, like, when she's a 120-day horse, she still needs an experienced rider, because she's still a little sensitive about things. Like, if you touch her too hard with the whip, she's going to buck. If you ask, you know, she's win.
It's almost like she's a wild horse or something. I mean, my God.
Well, she's, yeah, and so some of them are just super, super bomb-proof. Like her sister, who a good friend of mine, we call them sisters because they came from the same herd in Roundup, and he's in the competition too, Kevin Graham. His mare is, like, completely different. Like, they have similarities where they are, like, you can tell they're related as far as their opinions about things. But I swear, a bomb could be going off and all kinds of crap, and that horse would just walk into it and be like, yes, I'm fine. Nothing's going to happen. Wow. Like, she's very, where Wynn is like, hey, we can run really fast the other way, and we'll get away. So
well,
that's kind of
amazing.
How she is.
Well, listen, we're going to link up to your GoFundMe page on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Tell everybody about it. We'll put your website
That's
on there
awesome.
As well. You guys can, it's teamwallace.org, facebook.com/Elisa Wallace if you want to see all the awesome pictures.
Oh, wait.
Pictures.
Mine is wallaceeventing.com.
Oh, wallaceeventing.com. Sorry about that. My bad.
No
all right. Wallaceeventing.com is the website. You can go check all this out. Listen, I know we've talked about this before, but I'm going to get a Mustang. I just have to wait until I move into my next bigger farm.
You know,
which
I hear
is...
are excuses.
Yeah, it's three years.
Excuses.
Three years.
I see you post stuff on my page, and I'm like, she still is slacking. She's still slacking. I've got two more coming in that I'm pretty excited about as well. And
Listen, you still haven't gotten one. I'm
going to
be positive right here. Listen, I'm trying. I keep getting these dang off-the-track thoroughbreds, okay? I'm spread thin as it is. Listen,
I flew out west, like, a couple of weeks ago. I could have, like, gotten one for you then.
Listen, I'm trying to help you out here.
You go, Elisa. You go.
I am waiting for you to put out your training books and training video. You need to make training videos. and training books and sell these things because you clearly have a gift. And I don't know, I wouldn't know what I'm supposed to do. And you have this amazing experiences that you've had with these awesome horses.
I didn't really know what I was doing either. I'm not listening to you because, look, I didn't know, like, if you can start an off-the-track thoroughbred, you can start half, most of those things are just as crazy or wild as some of the Mustangs are. And don't get me wrong, off-the-track thoroughbreds are amazing. I've had several, and I love them, and they're awesome. But give me a break. You can get a Mustang.
No. Okay. I'm going to do it. I just was telling you that you need to market what you've learned because I would buy your books and videos if I could get a horse. The idea of getting a horse to where you've gotten it, nobody sells stuff like that, girl. Let's go. Make some cash. You don't need to GoFundMe. You just need to video it and sell it. I would buy. I'm just saying. I would buy. Write a book.
I'll think about it.
Let's do this. Training videos, book. I'm excited. I'm all for it. And as soon as you win this next competition, you're just going to be so busy with Mustangs. You're going to, I mean, just start videoing. Start doing it.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be exciting. I mean, if I can keep win, that would be great. Because
maybe
one of my sponsors, Ellie Price, who had gotten Fianto for me, which he ended up getting injured in the training process. But
I know. I'm so sorry.
I actually got to see him. He's still rehabbing, and I just got to see him out in California, and he still remembers his smile. I was like, oh, he remembers me. But Ellie has been such a great and huge supporter, and she actually is helping me get two young Mustangs that will be coming in the spring of 2015, and I'm really excited. They're both going to be four-year-olds. One's 15-1, and one's 15-3.
Nice.
And so I'm going to have a string of Mustangs that will be competing and eventing, which is the goal. So,
well, I mean, not to be whatever, but how about Ellie pony up to that Go for the Win in Texas Donate Now page and
well,
help
you know, she's done so much for me that I feel like I don't.
You don't want to ask.
And she's
I
getting
gotcha.
Two horses already, so I feel like when can prove herself and get another person in on board on the journey.
Gosh, I just couldn't be more excited for you and prouder of you. I just think you're awesome. You're my hero, and I just want to let you know that. And I'm pulling for you, and I cannot wait to follow. When is this? How can people get tickets to go watch you win this competition?
It is a ticketed event. So if you want to come, it's in Fort Worth. During the January 22nd through the 24th, which is also they hold the stock show, the big stock show that's there during that same time. They can go to www.extrememakeover.com, and it has a link to the tickets for the Mustang Magic and the dates and everything like that. And it's held at the Will Rogers Memorial Coliseum and also the John Justin Arena, just so everybody would like to know. And the horses afterwards are going to be put up for adoption and auction. So if someone's interested in, you know, adopting a horse, they need to get the tickets because that's where they've often had problems because it wasn't a ticketed event and it got so full to capacity that adopters actually weren't able to come in to see and adopt the horses. So that's why
wow.
it's ticketed, and the biggest goal is to really bring awareness about the Mustangs and show how, you know, good a horses they are and that they're worth saving and they're worth, you know, considering. So
absolutely. It's extrememustangmakeover.com, January 22nd through the 24th. At Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo. I am sending a bunch of my family to go see you. They all live in Dallas, and so they're going to go
oh,
and they're
awesome.
Going to watch you, and they're going to cheer for you. And then we've got our listener, Robin, who's already messaged me that she's going to watch you too. So we will all be pulling for you, and you guys go to the GoFundMe account. This little mare needs to go be an event horse for sure. So check it out. We'll put we've got the link put up on our Facebook page. And Elisa, as always, it's so awesome to talk to you, and just, it's so exciting what you do.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And can I add,
absolutely,
Elisa, that listening to you bust on Jamie just made my week. Thank you so much for that.
Hey, I have no problem calling someone out and trying to, the worst people to talk to about getting Mustangs are Mustang people. We're the biggest enabler.
Okay, there's an extreme Mustang makeover in Arizona in April of next year, and I think if you would come out here and help me start my Mustang, then we'll do it.
Do what? Wait, start the Mustang to do the competition with?
Help me start a Mustang. Just come out and hang out for a week. Help me start this Mustang, and then you can go and I'll do the competition.
Oh, okay.
You got time. You got time, don't you? Come on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. I know a friend trainer of mine that is going to be competing in that Arizona makeover. So you definitely need to go and watch.
Okay, I definitely will. I will totally go watch that for sure. That sounds easier than being in it, so I'll go watch first.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Elisa. Right, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you guys.
I love the fact that she doesn't stop busting on you. She just takes it and runs with it.
And it's like, I like the abuse because I totally have a girl crush on her. I didn't want to tell her. I can't.
She is fun. She is fun. And, you know, she's so down to earth, and you have to be when you're dealing with the Mustang or any horse that's in that situation. You really have to be kind of calm, cool, and collected. But we wish her luck in January, and hopefully we can get a report. If Robin heads out there, we can get a report from Robin. I did want to mention here real quick that we have gotten a bunch of sound files in. You still have Monday to get your Merry Christmas, Happy New Year sound files over to us. Either call, some people called the voicemail line at 859-951-2022 and left a message. Some people recorded it on their phone and sent it over, emailed the phone sound file to me. But we've gotten a little of both. We've had some very clever ones and some very simple ones, and we're happy with anything that you want to send over. There's some prizes involved, too, so we'll pick the top three and give some prizes. To reassure Robin, who has been banned from our show, she's the only currently banned person that I know about, to reassure her that her sound file will be played, and not because I'm nice, and also because it was really good. So we'll play that next week. I promise you, Robin, you don't have to send it. She said in her email, she said, if this gets lost, I'm sending it to Jamie.
She did send it to me just to make sure.
Did you listen to it? It's really good.
So
we've had some clever ones, and you'll start to hear those next week. We'll play them on the show. We are the week before Christmas next week, so we'll be playing them on the show then. Let's do this. Let's hear from Jennifer quickly, and then why don't we save the song till the end? What do you think? And we'll go right into Really Bad Ads after this. All right.
Here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
I can't believe I forgot to upload the Really Bad Ads music. I am just, I think, Jennifer, that it's just so close to vacation time that I am losing it. I just am.
Yeah, you're in vacation mode already, dude. That's not the only thing you forgot this morning. You forgot to feed the horses this morning.
I did feed the horses. You just didn't do it properly, apparently. I did it the wrong way. I didn't do the right thing. Well, we don't have the really bad ads music. I could play this.
There you go.
Hey, jingity jing.
There we go.
Well, we are doing really bad ads this week, even though I don't have the music. I think it's the first time I've forgotten that in 4 years. So Jennifer is going to tell us what the prizes are for this week's really bad ad.
Prizes this week are provided by HorseGroomingSolutions.com. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers. Silverado Show Grooming, and Glenn's favorite, Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. And today's prize from the Horse Grooming Solutions folks is a grooming tote filled with grooming products valued at over $50. Also providing prizes this week, Equisleeve. Oh, that's wrong. Also providing prizes this week, Equiflex Sleeve. The Equiflex sleeve is a proprietary blend of multi-tensioned fibers infused with antimicrobial technology designed to act as a compression sleeve and therapeutic joint support for horses. The Equisleeve takes the place of traditional standing wraps and can be worn for longer periods of time than traditional wraps. Unlike traditional wraps, the sleeve allows heat to dissipate and they do not immobilize the joints. And because they have no adjustable straps or fasteners, the element of human error in application is removed. The Equiflex sleeve comes in 7 different sizes. They fit front and back legs on anybody. You can find the Equiflex sleeve at your local tack store, or you can visit them online at flexsleeve.com. And today's prize is a pair of Equiflex sleeves in the size and color of your choice.
I hope we do a better job reading the ads that you had reading the commercials there. But,
yeah,
Equiflex
is
sleeves
tough.
Is tough.
That's tough.
It's
very technical.
All right, Jamie, you're leading the parade today. And, of course, these are ads that are submitted by our listeners off of Craigslist usually. And we are going to hear the first one from Jamie.
Rachel sent this one in, and where'd it go? Hold on, my computer screwed up. All right, there we go. Rachel sent this one in, and there's no title, but it starts like this. My owner took one ride on me and ruined everything. You see, she's a DQ and fancied that she could learn to jump with someone as fine as myself between her and the magnificent thoroughbred. But alas, it was not to be. My new owner, the DQ, whined that she did not feel secure on me and wanted to continue her trail ride in her stupid butt-sucker dressage saddle. Really? Hop over fallen logs on the trail in a dressage saddle? Dummy. Now, sadly, I now find myself being offered for sale. But I hope this time I go to a rider who can actually ride in me and appreciates my good qualities as a jump saddle. I am a 70... Did anybody else think that was a horse up until now?
Yes, I really did for a while.
I am a 17.5 Ovation competition show jumping saddle. There are more photos of my delicious self in the comments. Although I feel I am priceless, the idiot DQ will let me go for $8.95 shipped. Please help me get away from this crazy DQ and into a home where my new rider will actually use me to jump. I was very confused by that, actually.
That's a great ad. Here we have a DQ with a sense of humor, though. We actually have a DQ with a sense of humor. Yeah.
Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. I did not say that.
Rachel sent that one in. Thank you so much, Rachel. That was funny. The next one up is Uta sent the following one in. I'll read it to you the way it's written, and then I'll read it to you the way I read it the first time, and I read it wrong, okay? So I'll read it both ways. The way it's actually written is, Racking Horse for Sale, $500 in Lexington. Offering for your consideration a bay gelding racking horse approximately 22 years old. Do not let his age fool you. He needs a very experienced rider. He is a great trail horse, knows how to put his feet does not play well with others, does not like men, lays down in cross ties, forward and smooth, no spook, nothing stops this old boy going down the trail. Apparently not getting to the trail is a problem. Not suitable for husband horse. Does not like my new husband. He must go.
Wait. I know what you're saying.
Does not like my new husband. He must go.
Does the husband or the horse go?
I guess the horse is going, actually. Yeah, that's what I guess the horse going. Now, let me read this to you the way I read it. First, when I first read it and glanced over it this morning, I was a little sleepy. I read rocking horse for sale, $500. Offering for your consideration a bay gelding rocking horse, approximately 22 years old. Do not let his age fool you. Needs a very experienced rider. He is a great trail horse. This is where I started going, I've never seen a rocking horse on the trail. Knows how to put his feet. Does not play well with others. And then I started going, wow. This is an unusual rocking horse. Does not like men. Lays down across. I went through this whole thing thinking she was talking about a rocking horse. I was going, what is she talking about?
It's okay. The last one confused me. I'm still asleep, apparently.
That was a good one, Uta.
We got a bunch of new people in this group, and Barb is one of those. Top shelf horse manure, 90% proof in Morriston. This is 90% pure horse manure with little hay and no shavings. 85% decomposed. Looks like loam. I don't know what that is. Organic gardeners swear by it. Ready for your flower and vegetable garden. Small or large loads, you load. Call for availability as we clean out fast. Now, I thought this was going to be funny, but it turns out that 90 proof is not really just a bourbon. You know, like you say top shelf, 90% proof, the alcoholic in me screams this is good stuff, but it's actually apparently like real numbers. I don't know, whatever. I was hoping for a little more of a correlation between the two, but they didn't provide.
Apparently, they're very scientific about it, too. They know it's 85% decomposed. I could look at it and know it wasn't 85% decomposed. You know, there's a science to that, I guess. Who knew?
Well, if it's 90% pure horse manure, what is the other 10? Like, goat poop? I don't get it. Okay.
I don't know. You know what? We have a guy with a website that would like to buy some of this. He could have a whole new line of pure horse manure. Yeah.
Top shelf. Yeah, top shelf.
Yeah, he could charge more for this stuff. It's pure.
Yeah.
Brenda sent the following one in. Easy peasy Belgian cross Molly mule. That's right. It's a Belgian cross Molly mule. $3,200 in Cold Creek, Nevada. Meet Easy Peasy. Easy Peasy is a Belgian cross Molly mule. 14.1 hands and approximately 16 years old. How does she ride, you ask? Well, riding her is easy peasy. It's how she earned the name. We always said there was no such thing as a perfect mule or horse, but this mule is as close as you can get. If you're like me and don't have enough hours in the day and find yourself multitasking, this mule is perfect for you. You can text, Skype, email, talk on the phone, shop on eBay, do your taxes, all while riding her. She is sure-footed, nice bare feet, and great for the farrier. She neck reins pretty good for a mule. Most mules trying to neck rein them is like trying to turn an aircraft carrier. She isn't buddy sour or barn sour at all, and happily will plod along in the front, middle, or rear, or will ride alone equally as well. She isn't in a hurry when she trail rides, unless you're in one, then she'll gladly pick up the pace. I am not saying that she doesn't spook, but I've never seen her do it. On a temperament scale, she's a 1. I occasionally check for a pulse. She gets along with everyone she's turned out with and doesn't show any marish behaviors. She has impeccable ground manners. The only negative thing I would say, okay, now we went through all of that, right? The only negative thing I would say about her is she's hard to catch in a big turnout unless you have some grain, and then she catches you. If you want an overly friendly, pushy mule that gives you a full cavity search for treats every time you walk in the corral, this is not her. She's a business type of mule, and she appreciates a loving scratch on the ears and butt. Now, that wasn't a bad ad, but it was a very, very well-written ad for the perfect mule. It's the perfect mule.
I mean, I'm kind of sold. Like, I want to do my taxes from the back of a mule. Let's do this thing.
Who doesn't? I mean, we've all thought about that. Perfect.
Rachel sent in the next one, big old tire. Now we're going to hear a little bit of a trend. A big old tire, $75. A bunch of numbers, 10-ply rating Goodyear Super Terra grip. Yup, a big-ass tire in my yard, and I think I might want it gone. I know nothing about this. It was here when I purchased the property 8 years ago. The kids have had their fun playing in it, but now they're all grown up. I've done a fair amount of Googling and see these all over the Internet, from $1.5 to $3,000. Let's put this thing up at $75, and I'll certainly entertain offers. I'm pretty thick-skinned. Give it your best shot. All I can say is no. I'll also trade for guns, hydroponic stuff, a wood floor, solar stuff, greenhouse stuff, or lawn and garden equipment, etc. Good luck with that.
The first one was a trade for a wood floor. I'll trade my rubber for your wood.
Is it me, or when this dude with this big ass tire says hydroponic stuff, does that mean he grows weed in his backyard? Probably. Greenhouse, hydroponic stuff, solar equipment.
Yeah, that's true. It's got all the stuff. You know what? If he got some of that 90% proof loam from above, he would have the perfect weed. Yeah, that would be perfect.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, Denise sent the horse trailer in, and I just don't know what to say about this thing. It's a two-horse trailer, very unique. It has inside lighting, LED tail lights, electric brakes, a front tack area, and they want $900 for it. I, honest to God, have never seen anything like this before. It is truly one of a kind. It probably is homemade. I don't know. They put a plate glass window in the front of it. It's a two-horse trailer. And it's oddly shaped, sort of like a spaceship, sort of like the ones they used to fly up to the Enterprise in Star Trek. And the front, I don't know where the front came from. Can you just, it kind of has this big window in the front.
It's like a 1970s Airstream trailer or something, you know, like, but rusted. It's really, it's like a camper. It looks like a camper.
I don't know. It's bizarre looking. It is very bizarre looking. Jennifer will post it on our Facebook page because I don't know how to describe this one. It's truly unique. We've never had one like it before. I can say that.
Reason, like back when this was made in the 60s or 70s, that color brown was so popular, and it's just an ugly dirt brown with rust on it. And it's got, like I said, it's like a little camper. I was surprised that horses went in it, but apparently they do. Karen sent in the next one. Intergalactic warrior kitten needs to be hidden from the CIA. Let me read that again. Intergalactic warrior kitten needs to be hidden from the CIA. Darndest thing I ever saw. This cat speaks 7 different languages. English, say habla meow. Comprendente Italian meow. His Vietnamese name is Chairman Meow. Spricken in the purr. He knows Egyptian, but only Egyptian sign language. He's such a slacker. And the last language he speaks is Swahili, which he says he picked up from a sand crane who taught him to speak Swahili at a potato farm out by Sandpoint, Idaho. I tell you, this kitten is amazing. This reminds me of Big Bang. Did the guy from Big Bang write this? Seriously?
He might have.
This kitten is amazing. He fully understands string theory, responds to Morse code immediately, and can solve differential equations without needing to refer to any formulas whatsoever. I think he's an alien. Not like from Canada either, but like a real boogie alien from space. from outer space, or he might be French, or possibly French Canadian. Either way, they don't make cats. Also from Canada. Either way, they don't make cats like this from around these parts. So, alien. So, if you're looking for a kitten from outer space with whom you can discuss the finer points of Nietzsche, dirt problems, or even the veracity of the grassy knoll theory, he knows who killed Kennedy, man. Then this adolescent cat from Kerplunkenton in the Schneller belt of the ISIS gallery, or maybe it's Montreal, is your guy.
Like, does this guy have an ex-wife that was Canadian? What?
I don't know, but I hope I pronounced everything right. You guys, the kitten's smarter than me.
You got your geek out today, Jamie. You went all Big Bang on us today.
I'm exhausted. I feel like I need to go take a nap.
That was very funny. Thank you. Is it Karen? That was very funny. Oh, June sent the next one in, and this is following up on our tire trend for today. Free USED motorcycle tires in Crystal River. It's a very short ad. I have about 21 motorcycle tires, various makes, perfect for gardening.
Huh?
That's right. Perfect for gardening. I thought they would have been perfect for motorcycles, but apparently that's not what you do with motorcycle tires. You garden with them.
How do you garden with a tire?
I'm not sure. Do they make planters out of them, maybe? You know, fill them full of loam from the guy up above with his 90% proof? And then you grow your wheat. Oh, we can get three of these ads together today. We have a triangle. We can get the wheat guy, the greenhouse, the loam guy, and the tire guy. It's perfect.
Man, you're a matchmaker today. Just a matchmaker.
Leave it to me.
All right, Ruth sent in the last one. It's our last one of the day. Palomino gelding horse, 23 years young, $800. Don't be fooled by his age. He will go all day. He is gentle on the ground and lets you do just about anything to him. I can only ride once a week, and that's just not enough for him. I do not like to lunge him every time I want to ride. I just don't have that much time. On the trail, he is a very forward-thinking horse, driven, focused, determined, fast-walking, trotting, and can really gallop.
He's a bit of
he's a bolt. And the next line is, he needs a bit of an experienced rider, not the one who's easily intimidated.
That's what happens when they bolt. They need experienced riders.
Yeah. He can go over rocks, up and down mountains, goes through water, across grassy fields, and just about any place.
Yep.
Now, does that make it?
Do that. They can go anywhere.
Yeah. At a dead gallop, he'll go across the mountains.
They don't care about any stuff on their bolts.
He is a little quieter in the arena and will also allow kids to ride him, but should always be supervised. He just did a 5-hour ride in Superior and was always in the lead. He's an alpha horse and lets the others know. And here's the part that kicks it. You know, basically, they haven't said he's a bolter, but he's a bolter. And the last line is, I'll be up front with you. He's a little bit head shy. Oh, now you're going to be up front with us? Really? Would make a great Christmas surprise for someone. So call.
Yeah.
Really a great Christmas surprise for your worst enemy. Here, get him a horse.
That's right. Somebody you hate, your ex-wife, would be perfect for this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow, that's really a bolty horse. How much they want for that? $800. Ooh.
Merry Christmas, bucks. Honey.
Now, this is one of those that's $800 for the horse and $100,000 for the hospital bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Ruth. That was very good. Well, we got to decide on winners here. We have two prizes, Jamie. Let me get back up there. We have Horse Grooming Solutions. That is the complete kit from Horse Grooming Solutions, which actually we need to win one of because we're running out of everything. And that's valued at over $50. Who would you like for that?
Oh, you pick. I'm not picking today.
I can't be in both places at once.
I'll tell you the prizes. Horse Grooming Solutions. Who gets it?
All right. You know, it wasn't a bad ad, but it was a really good ad, and that was the mule ad. So let's give that to Brenda. Brenda gets the Horse Grooming Solutions.
All right. Sounds good. And the socks?
Oh, you know, well, we got to give it to
Flex Sleeve.
How about Ruth for the socks? And she was the one that had the bolter. Because you know what? You know, $800 bolter, you got to get a prize. So, Ruth,
sounds
that.
Good.
All right. Well, that's it for this week, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to our guests today and our sponsors. We really appreciate all of them. We'll be back here on Monday morning. first thing. Now, you aren't going to any jumping shows to steal ribbons from little children this weekend, right?
I think my hunter days are over. I think that was a final hurrah in the hunter world for me. So none this weekend, no.
Well, are you sure you won't reconsider getting back into hunters? You did so well.
I know, I did well, and I'm going to end on a high note. you know what I'm going to do, Glenn, is I'm going to take the next couple years and learn my hunter rules. That's what I'm going to do.
You should, because obviously you don't know them. And you know what? Clearly. Stealing ribbons from little children is kind of mean. It is.
It's a little disheartening, actually, is what it is. You win a blue ribbon, you feel like a jerk.
We'll see y'all here on Monday. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. Oh, and, you know, wait a minute. I promised that we'd end with this.
Yeah, with the song. Baby Raquel.
See
you, everybody. Oh, it's love this song. Oh.
Happy holidays! Wait, when I do that, I don't know what it's like.
I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas. Hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Well, the snow is softly falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling. Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and home safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathering in. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays.